All the niggas debating my numero. Not the three, not the two, I'm the UNO. Yeah. Numero UNO. Me and Drizzy, this shit like the Super Bowl. Man, this shit done it big as the...
Super Bowl, but the difference is it's just two guys playing shit that they did in the studio. Niggas usually send they verses back to me and they be terrible just like a 2 year old. I love a dinner with some fine women when they start debating about who the gold. I'm like, go ahead, say it then, who the gold.
To the stream, welcome to the late night. We're here for the late night grind. Hope everyone is doing good on tonight. Shout out to everyone on Facebook. Shout out to everyone on YouTube and X as well. To my Instagram peeps, I will get to you guys on the next stream as I'm still sort of working out the kinks with Instagram right now. Still trying to understand that platform with live streaming as well. But it's pretty easy and straightforward, so we're going to get to it. Showing trailers again. From what we've seen the past few days, yesterday I did a live stream with my homeboy DJ, talking about rap, the current state of hip hop right now. Shout out to all the pages called to do that. And I'm just sitting back and I'm enjoying the beef. I'm enjoying the battles. I'm enjoying the bars. And tomorrow, supposedly, we'll me and DJ will be back to react to that. But today, tonight, we're just chilling, vibing, talking about greatness, everything, animation, domination it is, X-Men 97, Invincible, you name it, welcome. My homeboy Evan will be joining us later on in this live / podcast as we head into the late nights. Comment. Let me know what you guys are on tonight on this beautiful Saturday. Comment down below. I'll show your comments on screen. We'll talk, chat it up. Let me know what you guys are on, talking about. Getting into DC as well tonight too, because Joker Folly Ado just dropped its trailer. So I know Evan will be ready to discuss that and break that down as well. So it's going to be a great time. Just so much going on right now, man. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot of content coming through from whatever you want to, you know, Marvel. I'm hearing a lot of things. CinemaCon, you know, CinemaCon went down crazy. Deadpool 3 is really leading the way for the MCU, especially for these future installments. X-Men 97, I mean, what can I say that hasn't been said, you know, a trillion times already, which is just that, you know, this is top level, you know, even more so, I think, than the live action. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say it. Even more so than the live action movies, like, X-Men 97 nails everything to a T. I mean, it's just wonderful. Nails everything to a T. And it's better than live action X-Men, if I may say so myself. Maybe without the exception of maybe Days of Futures Past, I would say, or even if you want to say X-Men 2, you know, maybe we could say X2, then okay. But I'm like, everything else is just like, bro, come on. It's freaking epic. It doesn't get any better than that. It does not get any better than X-Men 97 right now. So I'm about to get my dog in. We're about to get Evan on the show. Shout out to my dog, Evan. It is on the way. The vibes are on the way. Love having my co-host here on the show. Shout out to everyone who is chilling tonight. It's a beautiful weekend, by the way. Had a great day today traveling down to Mississippi, down to the Mississippi, down to Robertsdale, down here in Locklea, actually, and down here in Bama. So shout out to everyone from the Strawberry Festival. It was a great time. Great freaking time with the family. So now it's night. That's my time normally. But Asher is fast asleep. His mother is fast asleep as well, resting with our two twin boys on the way. So thank God for that. But yeah, it's a lot to be alive for right now. Shout out to Danae Villeneuve. Shout out to Timothy Chalamet. Shout out to Zendaya. Shout out to the whole cast and crew of Dune Part 2. Man, what a victory Dune Part 2 is. What an absolute triumph Dune Part 2 is. Just in everything. Just absolute masterpiece. So I had to go see it twice. It was so good. It was absolutely a masterpiece. It's already out now on certain sites. You know, if you pirate, that's your business. I ain't snitching. I ain't snitching. I don't know nothing. but yeah, man, it's chill over here. Dune Part 2 is awesome. I'm getting into the books. I'm reading them. I'm on part one. It's a big book. It's a huge book. So that in itself is going to be my task as we dive into this summer of 2024. It's going to be a great time to do that. But yeah, we're going to get into a lot tonight. We're going to get into a lot of just talk about everything that we love, everything that we're passionate about. Making that my goal. And as I become a father of three now, hopefully I can hold two more babies right here as I do this with love to get the boys started early on the stream. That would be great. Definitely plan on doing that. But Marvel is also bringing back Daredevil. So we've seen those. My favorite hero of all time, of course, the Punisher. My favorite anti-hero. So I'm very glad to have them back. And that's going to be a blast when we get there. So I'm super excited. The Acolyte is something that people have been really getting on, you know, as far as Disney Star Wars, but we're going to get into that in just a minute. I have my co-host, my dog, my homeboy, Evan Elliott, has arrived to the show, and he's here on J-House for J-House Live, which is also going to be our podcast too as well, which will be posted later. He is here. Welcome to the show, my dog, Evan.
What's up,
dog? How you doing? How you doing?
Doing all right, bro. Doing all right. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. I can't complain, bro. I can't complain.
I feel that. Me either. I'm excited for this one. I just heard you was talking about Daredevil, and so I jumped in at the perfect time.
Oh, yeah. You hopped in at the perfect time, bro. This is actually like the fact that we're able to do the live stream and then just take the audio and put it in our podcast is just, it's so much simpler. No interruptions, no nothing. Everything is smooth. And it's just, we got videos here. If we need to post something and we got a show, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great time.
Oh, yeah.
But how have you been, brother? How have you been?
I've been all right, man. I've been grinding, trying to make that extra money. Really hadn't been a lot to talk about in recent weeks, you know. Some people may be wondering why our episodes have been so spread out as of late on the Black and White podcast. I mean, it really just boils down to, in the world of pop culture, what has there been to talk about in terms of our favorite topics, Marvel and DC? Everything was kind of put on hold until the Joker trailer dropped, which I've got a lot of thoughts on. You've got a lot of thoughts on. I'm excited to get into that. And, you know, it seems as if every time I'm ready to put the nail in the coffin that is the MCU, and when I say that, I just mean the hype is going down. They do something like drop a Deadpool 3 trailer. They bring back, you know, Daredevil. Like, they just do something to get me back in.
Something to get you right back in there.
Now, granted, I'm standing on this until I'm proven wrong. I don't think the MCU will ever return to phase 3 level hype. That's just me. For a variety of reasons, not that they have a lack of material to go off of. It's just, you know, when you're talking about phase 3, you're talking about a decade in the making. You're talking about perfect castings, perfect, like, even if you're not a fan of Marvel, everybody was there for those. Like, you didn't have to love Marvel comics to be in the MCU. You didn't. Like, that theater was so packed for Infinity War, Endgame, and not just those, man, but Civil War was packed, Age of Ultron packed, the first Avengers was packed. I mean, everything was just packed. I don't see us getting back to that ever again, just because it's like expecting your quarterback to be Tom Brady. He might be really, really good, but he ain't going to be Tom Brady. That's just me.
Yeah.
But I think Daredevil and Deadpool, I mean, that's definitely something. That's not nothing. Yeah. I think Deadpool might be the – because I don't think either Deadpool movie grossed $1 billion. I think Deadpool 3 with the return of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, it's got a real chance to do so.
Absolutely.
Very real chance. And then Daredevil 3, real brief – or Daredevil season – no, this would be season 4. Point blank, in my opinion, Daredevil is the best superhero show I've ever watched.
Ever.
I mean, it's amazing. It is just beautiful, so I'm excited for that to come back. But, of course, this is our main topic for the evening.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I wanted to ask you first to get this started off, because I know you're going to be a lot more optimistic about this than me.
Yeah,
which may shock people, because you were there with me in theater when Joker 1 came out, and you remember how hyped I was for that movie.
Yes.
You remember very well. We were doing the going out for rehearsals. I was doing the little Joker dance before every single
curtain rise. Every time.
Because you remember that, like, ending of that first trailer of him just doing that little, like, kind of shoulder shimmy foot twist before the curtain, like, iconic moment, no doubt. So let me get your opinion. Joker Folie Adu trailer is out. What's your reaction? Like, how does this film interest you? Did it meet your expectations? How you feel about Gaga as Harley Quinn? How you feel about Phoenix and the direction they seem to be taking him in this film?
Well, that's a great question. And what better thing to do than for both of us to answer these questions together as we go through the trailer. That was the wrong place to bring it up. But here we go. All
right.
Yeah, because there's a lot to break down here. There's a lot to look at and a lot to get into. So here we go.
Let's get it. And can we pause this if we go throughout?
Yeah.
Hey, Fleck, you got a joke for us today?
Okay, so real quick, you know, I'll save it to the end. Never mind. Let's go. Okay.
So to answer your first question, I will say, like, the tone is definitely there. It's still there from the first trailer that we watched when the first movie came out, actually. So that whole sort of and I know that's something you're gonna comment on later, but that the whole angle of how they're approaching Joker this time is still there. It's still the same way. It hasn't changed. Their approach that they want it to do is, and the journey that they want to explore is still there. So that's there.
We use music to make us whole, to balance the fractures within ourselves.
I'm nobody. I haven't done anything with my life like you have.
This is a push out in here.
Absolutely.
Let's get out of here.
What the world needs now?
That's probably not pretty familiar to her trailer right there. It's him being dragged laughing.
What's that?
Him being dragged laughing. That is like my favorite part of this whole trailer.
Him being dragged laughing.
Now, yeah, I don't know why that gives me chills like it does. That's just a cool moment.
That is a cool moment. Let me run that back.
Tell us, what's changed, Arthur?
Well, I'll tell you what's changed. I'm not alone anymore.
Ooh, they
that's
put him in that white
suit. Talking about.
Now, hold on. I understand that the underlying thing is that this is a musical, in essence. But I don't want that to take away from the fact that it's still Joker and Harley Quinn and that they're about to do. I don't know what it is, but just judging from that shot of like this room and all these people and explosions happening and Joker getting blown away, I feel like there's a method to the madness, so to speak. Quite unexpected in the form of a musical, I might say. True. That much is true because I think we might get few sparse examples of that, maybe in the Batman animated series and maybe in some of the comics and video games, but to do it in a live action medium, that's something we haven't seen before. And so there is risk there. I don't want to come out and just say, even though I personally believe it's going to be a masterpiece, I don't want that to take away from the fact that y'all are correct. And that this is a risk. This is a big creative risk that's being taken. A musical. Mm-hmm. That is a big creative risk. So I do want to say that.
Yeah. I don't really have much to add. Let's go ahead and finish this up. And then I have a whole slew of thoughts to unleash on this.
Oh, I might melt if I see that in the cinema.
You might what?
I might melt when I see this shot in the cinema. The music, the composition. That's just beautiful. That's art.
So, I mean, from what you're saying, you give this trailer like a 10 out of 10. Your peak seems to be hype for this movie. Your hype seems to be peaked, rather.
My hype is peaked because, I mean, it's either, and I'm saying this because of what we've been through, and for the people viewing on live who haven't heard the past, you know, what we say, 2-3 years of J-House Podcast Radio and how much we've been through, like, mentally with DC. I don't think they understand, like, I don't think people get it how good this is that at this moment in time, we're hearing about DC projects being delayed so that people can take their time rather than DC projects being rushed, you know, just to hurry up and hurry up. At this moment, DC is not competing with anybody. They are not. DC's not, and that's not bad. That's not a bad. When it's like, you know, you're focusing on yourself.
There's always going to be some level of competition with DC and Marvel. That's just how it is.
There is.
Like Android and Apple. I mean, there's always going to be a sense of competition. Now, you don't want that competition to, as DC's done in the past, overtake you so much that your product just comes across as the knockoff version of somebody else.
Of something else, right.
That was the problem with Justice League. So, but real quick, like, taking away what we've been through the last 3 years, like, let's just look at this trailer, look at this movie, and let me ask you, what is it about this film specifically that has got you excited?
Like we say so many times, like we talk about so many times with the writing and the characters, it's the character study for me. If you can't see my camera right now, but right next to my PlayStation, I have the Dark Knight trilogy in a row right next to the PlayStation. Love those movies because more so than the action or anything, which is also great, it's the character study and reevaluation of each of these characters: Batman, Joker, Harvey Two-Face, Lucius, Catwoman, Alfred, you know, all these different takes on these characters brought into a different, you know, a different perspective. And so what builds my hype up for Joker is the same thing. It's the character study of Joker, of which we've had a plethora of iconic comic books. We've had a plethora of iconic stories told about Joker. But I think outside of maybe animated Batman and Heath Ledger's Joker, which I think me and you agree is the cream of the crop, there hasn't been.
Heath stands alone. You know how I feel about Heath Ledger. In my opinion, he has no equal. Even with Joaquin Phoenix's Oscar, when it comes to portraying the comic book Joker, bringing him to life and nailing it, in my estimation, Heath Ledger is alone.
And that's a fair opinion. That is a fair take. And I couldn't take anything away from that. That is absolutely a fair take. And for me, I find it refreshing that For the simple fact alone, it's a character study on Joker. You know, we got a little bit of that with Heath Ledger in the supporting role, but we never got to this moment where Joker could have his own. And now we're already in it. Now we're in it. Now we're halfway through. Joker could quite possibly be the first villain to have his own trilogy, and rightfully so, because of his iconic stature as a character. No matter what iteration we're talking, Joker is Joker, and he's always going to be iconic. So I just find it so crazy that we're living in a time where we're getting possibly a Joker trilogy, or even just a part one and a part two. And so it's the character study for me. It's looking at this character from a different perspective where we haven't really seen him, and doing something new with the character. Albeit, that's why it's put under the Black label, because that's where DC is going to allow that kind of experimentation and allow them to color in that area where creators want to do something different outside of the main DC universe, which is James Gunn's, which is going to have its own Batman. It's going to have its own Joker and its own Superman and a whole new universe of its own separate from Black Label. I think that's just the kind of creative freedom that DC is needed. The ability to be able to color outside the lines a little bit and try some new things. Not go too crazy, but, you know, do something artistic with it. And I think Todd Phillips did that with the first one. And so what he did with that one to bring it to a second one, bro, I'm like, color me hyped. Color, like, I'm with it 100%, dog. I'm with it. That's why I'm hyped. Characters.
So I'll answer my own question, because there actually are some elements of this film I am hyped about. The main one being, after only Daniel Day-Lewis and perhaps Christian Bale, I think it's a toss-up between Christian Bale and Joaquin. Those are the greatest method actors of the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix, nobody's ever seen him turn in a bad performance. There's things people have never seen. Loch Ness Monster, or in the last 25 years, you know, we haven't seen the Loch Ness Monster. We haven't seen a bad Joaquin Phoenix performance, and we haven't seen the Dallas Cowboys in the Super Bowl. These are just things that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
In the last 25, and on behalf of Packer Nation to America, you're welcome. But Joaquin just doesn't miss. He's an amazing actor. So, and you know me, I'm a sucker for acting. I watch movies to watch, what do I always say? Interesting characters and well-told stories. Okay. Yes. The first Joker, I will say, delivered that. I think Joaquin's Joker is interesting. I think the story was interesting. I think the acting was phenomenal. He got a well-deserved Oscar. I think Lady Gaga is a phenomenal choice for Harley Quinn. In American Horror Story, she definitely showed her chops as a bona fide actress. Like, she is a legit, she can act. Oh, yes, absolutely. So I don't have any, I've been saying my concerns about this film have never been the ability of Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga. I have no concern for them whatsoever. They're going to do fine. My concern is actually what you say it is you're hyped for, and I think this is where the discussion might get interesting. So we had this talk at the end of a podcast a couple episodes ago, and it kind of got a little bit more so. I realized I didn't word my opinion very well. And it almost came across as if I was just hating on Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. I want to be very clear. I think the movie is good. I find myself in a weird position with Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. I think it is a good movie. I think it's a well-written movie. I think it's got great acting. But my struggle is I don't understand how we – like, I consider The Killing Joke to be a character study of Joker. Because you have, in A Killing Joke, my favorite comic ever, you have Joker's origin that is kept faithful.
Yeah.
And he becomes the clown prince of crime, and he never looks back.
Yeah.
There really, he does have a message, but it's not one that you can really empathize with. It's one where you're like, dog, you're just off the deep end. You've totally lost it. Yeah. Like, he, and the things that he is doing is just unforgivable. Like, for those that have read the comics, you know, he shoots Barbara, makes her paralyzed, takes all these scandalous pictures of her. We don't know what else he may have done. It's left to the imagination. It's a gruesome comic. It's a hard comic to read. But, you know, he becomes Joker, and there's never a moment of looking back. My issue with Joaquin Phoenix's Joker and even Lady Gaga's Harley Quinn, they've kept nothing from the comics with these characters. Really nothing. Arthur Fleck is not in the comics. He is never – this is somebody new. Joker is never given a name. And then Harley Quinn, again, her – I'm really disappointed with what they've done with her character. I'm very disappointed. Not the look, not Lady Gaga. It's not her fault. But Harley Quinn being a doctor who meets Joker in Arkham, and she is just a shy, mild-mannered, brilliant psychiatrist who is manipulated and pulled down into Joker's madness, that story is one of the greatest DCs ever told, of how Harley goes from mild-mannered psychiatrist to Joker's lady. But in this version, Harley's already crazy. She's already in the asylum with him. She doesn't need convincing. It's love at first sight. It's, you know, and it just, I'm struggling with how this can be a character study if you're not actually studying the character, if that makes any sense. You're making up something new and you're calling it Joker. You're not really pulling anything at all from the comic and putting it on the screen outside of this is a man who wears makeup and occasionally does something.
Big dog. We straight? While we get that going. Well, okay. We good. While my dog, Evan, gets his camera right. Talking Joker, folly ado. Like, subscribe. Follow us on X, YouTube, Facebook. Follow us. We are here. We are live right now. Holla at your boy. Evan's computer died, so he will be right back momentarily. He will be right back momentarily while he gets his laptop plugged in. But we're talking Joker, folly ado. Shout out to everyone on the stream. Shout out to my people on X. Shout out to all my people on YouTube, Facebook, where y'all at. Tune in. All peeps and fam on Facebook. Tune in. What's happening tonight? What's happening? Shout out to you guys. Sorry for the no warning or no promo at all for these lives, but we will do better. We shall do better. I shall be sending out promotions and such way beforehand. Because we got a lot coming up. We got Game of Thrones coming up. I'm pretty sure I want to get my wife involved on that. Because, like, bro, that's going to be awesome. Game of Thrones is going to be great. I look forward to seeing that season. So we got that to cover. The movies this year are still going to be bumping. So we still have a lot to look forward to with that as well. Godzilla versus Godzilla Kong, the New Empire, I have not seen yet. I'm going to be late on that, so that review is going to be late, but probably going to be there next week for Godzilla Kong, the New Empire. And we have our guest, our co-host, Evan Elliott, back on.
Gooch. Sorry about that. My computer just straight up died on me.
You good. We straight.
So as I was saying, my issue is that me not seeing it as a character study is like, the only thing they seem to have kept with Joker in the comics is, okay, he wears makeup and on occasion he'll do something that some people think is bad. And you contrast that with somebody like... let's use like, okay, Jack Nicholson, for example. Okay, Nicholson, when he put the makeup on, it was nonstop killing. And it was in a clownish way, joy buzzers, or then to bring Heath into it, Heath had the pencil through the eye, he had the hang in the body. I mean, that's always been Joker. Joker has always been a symbol of chaos, not sympathy for those with mental health disorders. That's my gripe with Joaquin Phoenix, is that he's presented as an anti-hero. I mean, there's really not a moment in the first film where it's like, okay, he's just the straight-up bad guy. You can't agree with him. Like, no, people all over are like, no, he really never became like, okay, he shouldn't have killed Murray. That was wrong. That was a bad thing to do. But Murray was making fun of him. But, I mean, you know, the three guys that he killed on the subway, you know, his mom, stuff like that is like, well, yeah, that was kind of deserved. You know, that's not really evil. And that's kind of my gripe, is like, I just don't see the character study of Joker because I don't see Joker. And again, I'm not saying it's a bad performance. He is amazing. I'm not saying that it's poorly written, because it's not. But my struggle to get excited for this film is, DC fans, if we wanted a Joker movie, we've just been wanting a Joker movie where Joker shows up and he's that guy. Like, he's essentially Heath Ledger rated R. That's what we've been like. That's the only complaint anyone's ever had with Heath Ledger, is he was held back by a PG-13. Could you imagine if Dark Knight was rated R? Like, could you imagine?
It technically was rated R. I don't know why it wasn't. But it, like, could pass for rated R.
Bro, what if they actually went with full-blown Heath Ledger? Like, bro, we're going to make this thing hardcore R. Like, it would have been insane to watch. It would have been hard to watch. Right? Because, like, even with PG-13, it was tough to watch. But that's just my point, is, like, it's hard for me to get in the mindset and say this is a character study of a comic character, but also saying, okay, this is something totally different, and that's why it's Elseworld. Like, I don't see how we're going to balance. Like, I feel like it's one or the other. I feel like it's either this is a character study of a comic book character brought to life in a new perspective, with, because, you know, you can't have every Joker be the exact same. That's fair. Caesar, yeah. Jack, Heath, Cameron, this new kid, Barry, they're all bringing something different to the character. That's fair. And even Hamill. But you can see Joker in them. And for Joaquin, it just feels more so like somebody who thinks they're Joker, as opposed to actually being the real Joker. And it's, like I said, to wrap up my point, it's hard for me to see how this is a character study of a comic book character, but we're also going to say, on the other hand, this is Elseworld, totally different. It's not supposed to be like the comics because it's Elseworld, but it's a character study of a comic book character, but it's different. You get what I'm saying here, where the confusion's coming from?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think that they can live within the same area. Is like, if you have Elseworlds, because DC clearly said, okay, yes, Joker is Elseworlds, but it is to them, it is Joker, because they're in name. Yes, the character's name is Joker.
Right.
He does live in Gotham, but they're taking it from a standpoint of, well, what if we put this little caveat in there? What if we change up the origin a little bit? What if we do it this way? You know what I'm saying? Which is why that Elseworlds has to be there. That's why it's got to be there. If it's not there, then it's just... And I think that's the only reason why it's been successful, is because they didn't just come out and say, this is a strict, you know, observation of the main universe Joker that we always know. They never came out and said that, thank God. They did establish this is going to be an Elseworlds type deal. This is under a different label. This is Black Label. This is where we get to sort of do this. And I think that's the only reason why so many DC fans have gone along with it, and why it's been so successful, because of that. Because it's they're letting you know beforehand. And we've seen the sort of reaction that characters get when they're not warned, when they're told that, you know, this is the main universe character of such and such or whatever. And then they do it, and then it's not what the fans wanted at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, imagine if The Last Jedi, you know, imagine if Disney came out and said The Last Jedi is an offshoot canon story that has nothing to do with the main movies, and it's just our different little, it may have been, but it wouldn't have ruined or interfered with who we know as Luke if it was declared as its own story apart from the saga, and it had nothing to do with those at all. It's just somebody's offshoot dark, you know, version of mm-hmm. a sport, sort of attempt at a story that. And then I think people will be like, okay, well, that's different. You could have that take on Luke. That's fine. But as long as you're bringing back, as long as you know that you're getting a Luke that's going to be, you know, everything that the fans wanted him to be in 7, 8, the real 7 episode, the real 7, 8, and 9. I'm talking hypothetically now. So you see what I'm saying? So it would be one thing if like DC announced, yeah, Joker's going to be our main universe Joker, and Joaquin's going to be our main universe Joker. And then you drop that Joker, the movie, and then people are like, well, hold on now. Bruce is such and such age, and this is not adding up. And well, what is that? And how is that going to, how old is he going to be by the time he actually meets Batman? Because Bruce is a kid. And then it would have started all those problems because the intention of that creation was not made clear. And that's what the issue is with a lot of studios today. They don't make the creative intention clear. They just want to, we know what's best for the story and we're going to do it anyway. Hell come hell or high water, whatever the fans say, and they just do it anyway. So if James Gunn is taking his time, and rightfully so, he's crafting the DC universe. Whenever we do get to the main universe Joker, the new DCU, we understand what that Joker, or can imagine what that Joker is supposed to and is going to be to that main universe. Mm-hmm. So people are going to expect it because they know that's James Gunn. And James Gunn has made his intentions very, very clear with the specific vision of that universe. And the only reason why people are letting this fly with the Elseworlds is because that's what it's been labeled as. It is a different take on the character of Joker, which I think you're allowed to have.
I'm not saying you're not allowed to have it. And, you know, you can make your creative, I'm sorry to cut you off, and, you know, you can make your creative intentions clear, but my problem is you can have all of that. You can have all of it. But don't say it's a comic book character study, because it's not. If it was a comic book character study, you would take things from the comic book itself. You would take things from the source material itself. That's all I'm saying. It's not main universe Joker versus Elseworld. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying it is comic book versus big screen. And I'm saying that there is next to nothing in common with any comic book version of Joker and Joaquin Phoenix outside of he wears face paint and he lives in Gotham. That's about where the similarities end. The origin story is not just changed up a little bit. It's totally different. It's totally changed. Harley Quinn, totally changed. Totally different. Not, we're going to tweak up the origin a little bit here and there. No, like that would be like instead of acid, it's bleach. That's tweaking it up a little bit. What they've done is done a complete 180 on everything and even changed his personality. Because even in this trailer, rather than him just descending into full-blown madness, we get that quote of him talking about, we are not alone anymore. And I can only assume he's talking about mentally ill people. He's talking about people like himself. He's talking about people like Harley, because that was the focus of the first movie. And so what they've done is they've taken Joker from a murderous, just psychopath that he's always been, whether it's Caesar, Jack, Heath, Cameron, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The same thing that's always kept them together is they're just murderous, psychopathic clowns who can't be reasoned with. They're not these sympathetic, oh, I have a mental disorder. I'm really not the bad guy here. I'm actually the good guy. I mean, even he's... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. He's still not justified in that. To say what you just said would mean that every action that he takes, therefore, would be justified. And he's not justified in that. As far as the comic book part, that they're allowed to do that. Everything, it is a comic book adaption or a comic book being taken from its source material and changed up to live action.
Okay, here's my question.
They're allowed to do that.
I'm not saying they're not allowed to do it, but here's my question. Okay, you just said it is a source book adaptation. Okay, Here's my
question. Of certain aspects.
So my question is, how can you say it's an adaptation of source material when the source material is nowhere to be found? See,
what more source material do you want? I mean, he is the guy who for the most part, Joker's origins in the comics can range from one person to that we do know to someone that we don't know at all. That's been seen throughout comics. In some stories, we do know who Joker is. In other stories, we don't know who this guy is. He's just a mystery figure within the shadows of Gotham. So in name, they got that. Of course, they have Gotham, the essence of Gotham and its crime-ridden filth. Thomas Wayne and his and Bruce are there. They're all there, of course, because they're integral to the story. The only thing that has changed is, like you said, the 180 on the origin. That's the only thing that's changed.
And his entire personality, how he carries himself, his look. Everything has changed. I mean,
yeah, they give him a mental disorder too. Yeah,
yeah. Well, so, I mean, so me personally, I'll be honest. I'm not 100% crazy about focusing on the mental disorder. And the more I think about the laugh being a mental condition, that just seems kind of goofy to me at this point. But
I mean, if you're asking me, do I feel sympathetic for the Joker now? No, this is let me make that clear. This is absolute lunacy. This is madness of the highest order, Evan. I will say that. I understand his speech in the first part. Like, yeah, okay, that was probably the only time I really felt sorry for him. But then everything that follows thereafter is on him. He accepted his madness. He understands who he is. And now his crusade now is just, like you said, he's not alone. It's more people like him. But that doesn't make him justified in what he's doing.
Oh, no, I definitely don't believe he's justified. But what, like I said, what I just keep going back to is, I mean, point blank, I don't see Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker. I just don't see it at all. I mean, can you have different versions? Yes. But it's kind of like I told you with Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor. I'm watching him, and I told you, like, I'm watching Jesse Eisenberg played the same character he's always played in every single movie he's ever been in. He can only play one character, eccentric, awkward, just talks a million miles an hour. You know, he makes people uncomfortable. You know, he gives that speech. Well, see, I am. No, wait. What am I? You know, it's just this awkward. I don't know what the word for it is, but anybody that's seen Jesse Eisenberg knows what I'm talking about. But I was finally able to enjoy that movie when I said to myself, okay, this isn't Lex Luthor. This is somebody different. Let me just enjoy this performance as it's given. Once I was able to do that, I said, okay, I can see what Eric's been trying to tell me this whole time, what he likes about the character. I just kept getting hung up on, this is not Lex Luthor. Like, I don't see, but I will give you this. Lex Luthor and BVS has a lot more in common with the Lex Luthor of the comics than Joaquin Phoenix's Joker does in these movies compared to comic book. I mean, pick a comic book, any comic book Joker. And I'm not saying that makes him bad, but I'm just saying is I myself can't call this a comic book movie just because DC sticks their label on it and calls it Joker. I call it something new. This is something new. This is not a Joker from the comics. This is a brand new Joker created just for the big screen, who is not at all derived from the source material. I mean, even with Harley Quinn, her origin story is totally different. And I can see the Elseworld argument. But I mean, you know, you look at Matt Reeves, he's doing Elseworld stuff. And he changed up the origin of Riddler a little bit here and there, but he, by and large, kept Riddler more or less true to who he is. He kept Batman more or less true to who he is. He brought out a new version of Penguin, and he brought out Joker. And look, I'll just be totally honest. I am more excited for the Batman 2's version of Joker.
If we get it.
Than I am Joaquin Phoenix. And that is not because I think this kid is a better actor than Joaquin Phoenix. It is not because I don't think he is. It's solely because I believe the Batman 2 Joker will give me the reason I go to see Joker on the big screen. I like to see Joker be Joker, bring the madness, bring the mayhem, be that because Joker has become the most famous character for DC villains and always has been because he's the scariest. Always has been. Even more so than Darkseid, who shows up and he's going to wipe out the whole world. Like, that's scary. Joker just has another element to him. Like, there's just something like, and obviously we know that Darkseid is far more powerful than Joker and all that good stuff. But, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, for me, I just do not get Joker vibes from Joaquin Phoenix. Even in this trailer, I was disappointed because I had told you, I can forgive it being a musical. I can forgive it being so many things. But what's killed me about Joaquin Phoenix is I haven't felt like he's had his Joker moment where I look at him and I'm like, that's Joker. There he is. That's him. Right? Has he had phenomenal acting moments? Obviously, several. But I look at Jack Nicholson, okay? He poisoned an entire city with a parade. That's Joker. Heath Ledger, I could be here all night. I could be here all night talking about his moments. I'm not even going to get into that. Joaquin Phoenix, he danced down a flight of stairs, and he gave a speech about how bad his life is. Like, great acting, cool scene.
So him.
But that's what, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what he did. He danced down some stairs, cried about life, and shot somebody.
You're leaving out the part where before he did that, he brutally murdered a man who framed him and got him fired from his job.
So that was almost deserved.
Smothered his mom.
Who abused him his whole life, so that was deserved.
True, still murder, nonetheless. Still murder.
Okay, contrast that with poisoning an entire city with a parade.
That's fine. If you want, I see what the deal is. I think you want
madness.
Okay, that's
you. I want Joker to be Joker. It's like with Hulk. What do you want to see Hulk do? Smash.
But there has to be variety in that. There has to be more for certain characters. And that's for depending on the volume of character. If you're talking about, you know how much Batman we get on a daily basis? It's always Batman, 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 Batman. You're bound when you have a character of that much stature and that much power and lore. Mm-hmm. Even Asher, as he watches the animated Batman series, I'm noticing, I'm like, bro, the legacy and the power of this character truly is eternal. Mm-hmm. Of Batman to impact generations. Even my son knows who Batman is now, like, truly. And, like, so with that, there's bound to come different iterations and different variations of that character. And we've had it. We've eaten good as Batman fans. We've had so many. We've gotten everything we wanted, down to the Frank Miller, you know, nightmare Snyder version, and now to the Detective Noir version of Robert Pattinson. We've gotten it. Now with Joker, it's been a slightly different ordeal. We've had a lot of madness with Joker in almost every iteration. So
have we had a Batman that is even close to as different from comic Batman as Joaquin Phoenix is from comic book Joker?
No. I haven't watched Gotham, but they say that very, but that's really just, that's prequel stuff.
It's not really, he's in like two scenes. He's in like two scenes.
I can't really count that.
I would counter what you're saying by just saying some characters are timeless. Some characters are just timeless, and you can keep putting them on the screen over and over again, and people will come to watch. Take Darth Vader, for instance. He's had the same look since the 80s.
Not the same perspective of story. Yes, Vader has remained the same on screen for ages, but look at how much has been added. And look at how many perspectives have been added to him over the years. We've had the prequels. We've had the Clone Wars. We've had the Kenobi show. We've had the comics. We've had so much to come out that adds and changes our perspective of the character.
Does it though?
That continues to, yeah, to understand.
Okay, how does your perspective change from just powerful Sith Lord?
Because
at the end of the day, that's what he is. He is a powerful symbol of fear. And no matter how much sympathetic backstory you want to give him, however much other story you want to add to it, that's fine. But at the end of the day, this is still Darth Vader. He's still a cold-hearted killer at the end of the day. Yes, he ultimately redeems himself, but in the comics, as you mentioned, we see him put a girl that helped him through the entire comic. She helped him. And at the end of the comic, he forces her to go in the airlock and sends her into outer space because that's who he is. We see him in Rogue One mowing people down. We see him in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. Yeah, there's that moment where he and Obi-Wan have that little talk. But, mm-hmm. bro, we watched him pull somebody out of a room and choke them and kill them in front of their family. Because at the end of the day, the timeless elements of Vader are that he's terrifying. He is evil. He kills people. He cannot be reasoned with when he wants to do something. But that does not change.
It doesn't. But to study the aspects of how that character got there is also not bad either. And such is the same thing with, in an essence, Joaquin's Joker. To study the method behind the madness, instead of just having a Joker come out being straight mad off the rip. Okay, how did he get there? Just hypothetically, it doesn't even have to be. Now, of course, I understand maybe James Gunn is going to take that direction when we get there to the Batman, the Brave, and the Bold. But for the first time with Joker, let's just understand that. Sure, it's not going to take away from the method of madness and who Joker is at his core, but at least let's look at it from a different perspective. We're not, because that would be the true screw-up, would be for Todd Phillips to try and change who Joker is. That would be the crazy thing. But instead, he's just showing the elements that got him to where, in this universe, that got him to that point. What happened to you to make you like that? Why? Now, true, Heath Ledger is the epitome of just the madness part, because as we love to quote, some men can't be reasoned with, some men, they're not trying to sit down and talk about all that. They ain't trying to do all that. They just want to watch the world burn. And there's nothing wrong with that betrayal. That is absolutely the epitome of who Joker is. But man, when we look at some of this stuff that Joker does in the comics, gassing out and killing people in churches, just time after time, and Batman has to keep doing the same thing again, which is what makes Batman such a great character. Like, at some point, we just have to stop and be like, okay, Joker, like, what is your problem? Why are you like this? Not in hopes of changing you, because you can't change that. But we need, the audience has to have some sort of door into it. The same way we understood Vader's madness and how he came to be, like, there was nothing we could do about Revenge of the Sith. That was coming regardless. There was nothing we could do about that. Everything that would lead to him becoming Vader was going to happen. But it's good that we understood it, because now we know. Same thing with Joker. I'm like, we need to know, because that man is crazy. Joker is trifling beyond any character that we can ever name. Mm-hmm. Trifling for no reason at all. And annoying as hell.
And that character has been timeless since his inception. So I would push back on what you said respectfully by saying, I mean, first I would point out the Killing Joke answered that question, I would argue, better than what Todd Phillips has done. I mean, with the Killing Joke, you've got mild-mannered, failed comedian with a wife. He can't pay the rent. How does he become so crazy? Oh, well, his wife dies and he falls into a vat of acid in the same day, and he just completely loses it, and there's no going back at that point. Okay, that's a pretty simple story. And there's no reason we couldn't have got that on the big screen, because we've never had that version of Joker portrayed. The only Joker we've ever seen fall into the acid on the big screen was Jack Nicholson, and he was mad right off the get-go. So, I mean, you could have easily done that, and then you could have had a sequel movie where, okay, he's already fallen in the vat of acid, he's already gone on a murdering rampage, and now in film two, it's just going to be, okay, maybe he's busted out of Arkham, and now he's got his crew with him, and he's ready to rain fire on Gotham again. A Joker's revenge type ordeal. But with this film, they sacrificed all of the madness to make a point about mental health. Like, at the end of the day, that's what Joker is, more so than a comic book adaptation. And more so about the one, it's not, I used to try and say it was more of the one bad day philosophy, but it's not really so much that. It's just more so kind of what everybody was saying after Columbine, which was, if you ignore those with mental disabilities, this is what you get. Like, that was his speech with the "you get what you effing deserve" on the Murray show. But I would push back on what you said that we quote unquote need to know why he is what he is. A huge part of what has made Joker and what makes Heath Ledger so amazing as Joker, we don't know. And that makes him even scarier. That's what makes Batman fear him so much. Like, there's that moment in The Dark Knight where Alfred says, "Some men want to watch the world burn." Batman realizes, okay, I'm dealing with someone different now.
So Heath Ledger didn't have to fall in that vat of acid in order for that point to come across.
I mean, he could have. I mean, Nolan could have fit that into the film if he chose to.
It's up to imagination, I think. I think they leave a lot to imagination.
I mean, we can assume that's what happened if we want to. I mean, he's obviously deformed. But my point is, my issue with Joaquin going back on him is, and the reason I can't see him as Joker is, we just haven't had, in my opinion, this is subjective, people can disagree with it, I haven't seen the Joker in him yet. I have not seen, I mean, as cool as the stair dancing scene was, and it was pretty awesome, as cool as the riot scene at the end and the blood smile was, that was really, really cool. That was a great cinematic moment. That was really cool. I wish we could have gotten 30 minutes more after that to really see him do some crazy stuff. Because that's what Joker does. That's what he does. And again, I hope I don't sound like I'm being disrespectful to Joaquin Phoenix, a phenomenal.
Oh, no, actor. Because the thing is that's what it allows for. Because of Heath Ledger's phenomenal performance, it opened the door for other actors to come in and do certain things with the character, mm-hmm. whether they worked or not. Because now it didn't work quite as well with Jared Leto. It's worked very well for Joaquin because, I think my thing is, and I think you might agree to this too, is when it comes to doing these risky adaptations, does it harm the legacy of the character? I think is the real bottom line of the issue. Does it harm? And now this is fair. Your criticisms are fair. If you want to see absolute madness and more blood splatter and madness of the Joker, then that's fair, because that's who Joker is, and to see that is the essence of who he is. To have a character, to have a sort of different perspective on him, like Todd Phillips is doing, that's fair too. I think that's, you can have that too in an Elseworlds Black Label type.
Well, sure, I'm fine with calling it Elseworld Black Label. Different Joker created for the big screen, and it's Todd Phillips's version. My issue is just when somebody tries to, how do I word this?
Say it's comic book accurate.
If you want to sell me Joaquin Phoenix as a big screen Joker for a new generation, totally new, totally different, brand new, fine. But if you want to sell me on this is a dude from the comics, I can't buy it. Because there's just no comic book where he's anything like this. There's no comic book where Harley Quinn is already crazy. like every story of her has always been she's pulled down into madness. And what sucks is this was the first film where I felt like we could have gotten that. And it would have been so cool to see Gaga as that mild-mannered psychiatrist who is pulled down into madness as Harley is. But instead, she's already nuts herself. So it's not really a dissension into madness. She's already there. And then the other thing is, we kind of wrap up that, you remember when Joker was supposed to be a standalone movie?
I knew it wasn't going to be a standalone movie from the get.
Like, and that's the other thing is, like, everybody was like, oh, this is just going to be a one-time standalone movie. No. But then when Warner Brothers saw that box office return from the first one,
they said, God dang.
There's got to be another one. And so, I mean, and I hate come, like, I want to come on here and say I'm at a 10 out of 10 hype for this movie. I really do. Because I've been wanting to be hyped about DC for a long time. But Joker was a one-time ordeal for me, and it was fun for the first one. For the second one, if it's more the first one, I don't know.
I'm just going to look at the tall tale signs of the last time this happened. And as of right now, Joker, the trailer that we just looked at, surpassed Barbie, I believe, in views, and it's one of DC's biggest viewed trailers.
No kidding.
Yet. And yeah, so I mean, I think the hype is there. And I think
The hype is there for people, yes.
I mean, and it's not gonna harm anything. I think it's just, as long as they're not, because you can't bring this Joker, obviously, you can't bring him into the main DCEU, because that's a lot more escalated. But I think as long as DC's taking their time and they can do something like this to where you can afford to do an art house Joker, so to speak, then I think they're doing fine. Because we still got to wait. We got to wait 2026, I think. One of them years. We got to wait for Batman Part 2 because they postponed.
Yeah, 2026. So. Yeah, that's some bogus right there. And so somebody lied. I just looked it up. Someone lied to you about the trailer count. Joker Part 2 has a 27 million views. Barbie is at 83 million.
Well, it was one of those stats it beat Barbie in. One of those. I don't know which one it was. I thought it was the most viewed. Maybe it might have been the most viewed, not liked.
I think a Snyder person lied to you.
Oh no, Snyder person didn't lie to me. They're hating Joker right now. Snyder people are the Snyder cult. Everything. They're panning Joker right now for no reason at all. I'm like, y'all are stop trying to make my favorite director, my dog, look bad. We over here on Rebel Moon. We on something else. We on Rebel Moon Part 2, which
that's going to be our next podcast.
Yeah, that's what we on right now. Real Snyder fans are on that.
They're just salty. And I don't even waste my time with that one, because, I mean, that's a conversation we've just bludgeoned to death on this show.
Man, that.
But we do on the next live. Or we could tackle it now if you got a minute, but I know it is kind of late, so maybe we'll save it for another day.
We can save it for another day because it's this week. It's the 19th.
There is a conversation we have to have that we may argue on, but I can't let you out of it. We are going to address the Zack Snyder Joe Rogan podcast.
Oh, no.
To address Zack Snyder saying, when somebody tells me you can't do that with a character, my first reaction is to do just that. There's no way Zack Snyder is going to say that blatantly on a Joe Rogan podcast, and I'm not going to ask you to defend that. That's just not going to happen.
This is, you can't tell, but this is my Denzel Washington Training Day face where he looks at Hoyt. And he's just like, really? Like, I can't.
And to continue with training analogies, if you start defending that, I'm going to be like Ethan Hawke walking away at the end of the movie.
Jake.
Shoe program.
Shoe pro. I'm gonna watch that interview and try to lawyer up my dog Snyder as best I can.
Oh, you better, because I'm coming for your neck on that one.
You're coming for my neck on. I already know, bro.
I'm coming for your neck on that one. Yeah, I love you. You're my dog, but I'm coming for your neck on that one. There's just some things you can't say.
That's my dog. That's my dog.
There's just something like, if Nolan said something like that, I'd be on his neck about that.
Oh, man. That's my dog, man.
This was a good one, bro.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Thank you for being on the show. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to the live. This is J-House Live, Animation Domination. This will also be serving as our podcast episode, so we're going to get that posted up for you guys, too. And hit that like button, subscribe. Shout out to everyone on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, YouTube, Facebook. Shout out to you guys. And we will see you guys next week for our next two live podcasts, one of which will be that debate, and then Rebel Moon, Scargiver, the premiere. So we'll be that ready for you guys. Is
taking over again.
It's taking over again. We're right back where we started.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. I'll see you later, man. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Y'all have a great night. If I'm down for it tomorrow, I will be on live, and I'll let you guys know again beforehand. Appreciate you guys. Love all you guys for tuning in. I really do appreciate you. I'll see you guys later, man. Peace. Thank you for joining. This has been another edition of J-House Radio.